Well, it's great to have you all here this morning. I've been looking forward to getting into this message with you. The last two Sundays, I've just been wanting to speak from some things from my heart and what God is doing inside of me on this particular journey that I've been on and all of a sudden found myself in and facing surgery this next week. And so I want to speak to you about something. If you get out your life point outline, if you haven't already done that, you notice that the title of the message is Our Need for Hope. And there's a passage of Scripture that just really speaks that, I think, to our hearts so well. And that's Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. And I'd like to read that. I went ahead and had the girls to type it into your Life Point outline. And so it's there in front of you. And it says, Paul writes and he says, Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. If you're like me, you've probably read at different times a little statement that somebody wrote up, and it says, you can go 40 days without food, you can go 3 days without water, you can live 8 minutes without air, but you can't live 1 second without hope. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. I really don't. I don't know if that's true, but I can tell you what I do know. I know that I don't want to live if I don't have hope. Hope is critical. I need to have hope, and so do you. I need to have hope of a good future, not necessarily a pain-free future, but of a good future. And I need to have hope that there is a God in heaven who is going to bless me. And I think that you are right where I am. I want you to look at this first truth that's in your outline this morning, and it's this. Hope is one of the deepest needs of a human being. Everybody needs hope. Dr. Harold Wolf was a professor at Cornell University School of Medicine. And he did a study on the effects of hope on the human body. And Dr. Wolf said that he studied 25,000 prisoners of war over an extended period of time to see what difference, if any, hope made in their lives. And what he found was, out of those 25,000 POWs, he said there was one group of men on whom the experience of being a prisoner of war had no effect at all. He said, in spite of brutality, torture, solitary confinement, and inhumane abuse, he said, there was one group it did not face. He said, there was no evidence of PTSD in these men. They did not get ill. When they got out, they did not have flashbacks. And he said, in fact, when they got out, they simply went on with their life. And he said, the one common denominator out of all of it was a high level of hope that these men had inside of them. Hope is essential for handling the crisis of life, he wrote. And then he said this, and this is a quote. He said, when a man has hope, he is capable of bearing incredible burdens and cruel punishment. But when hope is gone, people fall apart. And they fall apart emotionally, they fall apart physically, and they fall apart spiritually. Now, before I dive into this, would you go to the Father with me and let's just pray together? Because I want us to get all the mileage out of this that God wants us to get. So, Father, I want to thank you this morning. I want to thank you, Father, for this word. I want to thank you, Father, for what you've put in front of me. And I pray this morning, God, that what you want this message to do for us, that it will do, not only for us individually because we're your kids and you love us, but also, Father, for those who are going to come across our path, for men and women who are going to need hope and not know where to find it, and that, Father, you and I will be missionaries, that my brothers and sisters here, we will be missionaries for you, and that we will bear a good word to the people whose paths we cross that are in need of hope. And we ask this, Father, this morning, help us to have open minds and an open heart to hear you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, hope is absolutely essential. And so I think the question that has to be asked is, you know, where do you go to find the hope that you need when you're facing maybe a situation that's just like, you know, overwhelming to you? I remember on that day a few weeks ago when I sat down and Dr. Price came in and, you know, Catherine said, "I don't like this." She said, "He's calling us in early." And I said, "There's nothing wrong. Everything's fine." I said, "He's probably had a cancellation and he's calling us in early. And everything's fine." I said, I've just got, you know, peace about this whole thing. It's going to be fine." And so, you know, David walked in. He had on his game face. And he came across, sat down in his chair. And then he rolled it up close to me. And that was kind of my first clue. And, you know, then that's when, you know, he said, "Well, we found that you've got cancer." And I can't remember a whole lot more of what he said after that. But when he told me that I had that, there was one thing that I needed to hear more than I needed to hear anything else. I needed to hear that there's what? Hope. Right? That's what I needed to hear. More than anything else, I just wanted there's hope. I can handle having cancer or whatever if I know there's hope. That's what God is telling me here. That's the message of Holy Scripture. We can handle whatever life throws at us, whatever it is, if we know that there is hope, that there is something better. Every day of my life, every day that I get up, I have got to have hope. I need hope to believe that God can change my situation. And we get into some hairy situations. We agree to that? And every day of your life and mine, when we wake up, we need to have this hope that God can change my situation. That whether he changes it or not, that God will meet my need. And whether or not my situation changes, there is a Father in heaven who loves me. And there is a God who will bring good to me out of whatever pain my day gives me. Does that make sense? That's what I have to have. And I can tell you, that's what I have lived with the last 45, 46 years that God has planted me here. That is what keeps me going. That is what enables me. People have said, how do you stay in one place as long as you have? I tell you how. It's hope. That you keep going, that you keep persevering. And the reason is that you and I need to just embrace this message this morning is because we live in the midst of a town where there are tons and tons of people who have hope in short supply. And they need to know that there is hope. People need to know that. You know, today people do crazy stuff to find hope. They trust in psychic hotlines. They, you know, go to palm readers and astrology. And more on television, you see the necromancers that God talked about. Necromancers are those people who talk with the dead. And actually, they're not talking to the dead at all. They're talking to demons. Demons who are familiar with people who have died. Satan walks this earth, and so do his demons. And they know people. They know your aunt. They know your uncle. They know your dad. They know people in your life. And God said, do not go to a necromancer. It is from the pit. And people do it all the time because they don't know the truth. And when disappointment comes, because it always comes, because these are fake cures, people get to the place to where they begin to think cynically, well, there's just no hope. You know, hope is not possible. I want you to look back at Romans chapter 15, verse 13. In the New Living Translation, the Bible says this: I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace. Now listen, because you trust in him. So here's what God is saying. God is saying that when I put my trust and my faith in the wisdom and the plan of God for my life, when I trust him, it gives me peace and it gives me hope and it gives me joy. Let me tell you what I'm putting my hope and my faith and my trust in. I am putting it in God's name. Now, when you listen to that, I'm putting it in the name of God. And it is important that you understand that. Psalm 52, verse 9 says, in your name I will hope, for your name is good. Now, I want you to understand what he's not saying. He's not just saying, I trust God to take care of me. That's not what he's saying. He is saying, it is God's name that I put my trust in. Amen. I put my trust in the name of God. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. You know, one of the things that parents get into, and we've got a number of young people here that, you know, are having babies, and it's great to see that happen. And one of the things that you always go through as a parent and having a child is, what are you going to name them, right? And people always want to know what are you going to call them. And usually, you know, either we're going to call them some kind of trendy name, or we're going to name our child, after somebody in our family. You might like to know this. I just kind of did a search on this. The top girls' names for 2018, so listen up if you've got a grandchild coming or a child. The number one girl's name is Emma. Number two is Olivia. Number three is Ava. Number four is Isabella. And number five is Sophia. So just FYI on that. Now, for the boys, number one is Liam. Number two is Noah. Number three is Aiden. Number four is Logan. And number five is Mason. So just so that you'll know that. Well, here's the deal. The Bible, in Bible days, when they named somebody, it wasn't just to be cutesy, and it wasn't like naming them to, after a grandparent or whatever. Names meant something. And one of the things in Scripture is God gives us his name. He calls himself by different names. And the reason he does that is he says, I want you to understand what my name means, because my name is describing me. And I want you to know what I'm like. I want you to know the God that I am. I want to give you three names of God that are in your outline. There are more than three, but I want to give you these three. We learned last week he is known as Jehovah Shalom, which is, I am the God who gives you peace. When I need peace in my life, I get peace from him. All right, he's the God who brings me peace. In another place in Scripture, he's called Jehovah Jireh, which means, I am the God who provides all that you need. The Lord says, I will take care of you. I'm the one who provides for you. So when you have a need in your life, when you have a provisional need, God says, I'm the one you come to. God says, when you are fearful, I'm the God you come to. Why? Because I'm the God who, when you come to me, I am the source of peace in a troubled world. And then at the end of the book of Ezekiel, God describes himself by one other name that I want to leave you with this morning, and that is this, Jehovah Shammah. And Jehovah Shammah means, I am the God who is always there. I am the God who is always there. You know what that means? That means there is no place that I can go in this world that my Father is not there. And I want you to understand, he's not just talking about location. I know that, whether I'm in Timbuktu or I'm in Dybal or, Zavala or whatever, it doesn't matter. I know God is there. Okay, we get that. But his omnipresence also means that God was with me the moment that I was born. And that same God is with me right now. And whatever my future holds, God says, when you get there, I'll be waiting for you. I'm already there. How is it that my need for hope then is can be a blessing? How can I receive that? How can God give me what I need for my soul? There are two things that I want to give you this morning. How God meets my need for hope. Number one is I remember. I get hope when I remember God always walks beside me. He always walks beside me. In this new journey with cancer that Catherine and I are on, one of the things I have learned afresh, she and I both, is a great deal of our lives is out of our control. Would you agree with that? And sometimes you learn that and then you learn it again. I had, the thing about it is, I had absolutely no sense that there was anything wrong. And different ones of you asked me, they said, how are you feeling? I feel fine. Absolutely fine. You know, I'm asymptomatic. You wouldn't know there is anything wrong. If God had not done what he had done, there's no way I would have had any inkling that I had a problem. And isn't that the nature of our existence? We rock along. We're all sitting here. And we have no clue what's coming next week. Remember, I have the gift of encouragement. I'm here to build you up. You come once every 7 days to be encouraged. Because I'm so good at that. We have no idea what is coming next week. And I had no idea this was coming. Not a clue. Not a clue that it was happening. And the thing is, I can't control what's coming my way. I cannot even fathom what is out there in front of me. I can't, and you can't either. But here's God's promise to me. When I am in his family, when I come to him and I admit my sin to him, and I ask his forgiveness through faith in what his son did for me, that Father, I am trusting and I am honoring what Jesus Christ, your son, suffered on the cross. He did that for me, and I am honoring you. That is my only entrance into heaven. Father, because of him, I am asking you to be merciful to me, not because I deserve it, not because I earn it, but because Jesus suffered for me, and I am honoring him. God, because of him, I ask you to be my Father. And God promises, because you have honored that, here is my promise to you. Now listen to what his promise is to you. Isaiah 41 verse 10. God says to me, because I am in Jesus Christ. God says to you, if you are in Jesus Christ, listen to his word to you. Don't worry, because I am with you. Don't be afraid, because I am your God. I will help you. I will support you. You can't get any better than that. The Father says, I'm going to be there. Here's the truth in your outline. The certainty of God's presence for us in our days gives us hope. Now what, you know, and here's why we need that. Haven't we already found that people will leave you? Have you found that out? People will leave you. We live in a world where people will leave you. Family and friends can move away. And those that you thought you'd be with all of your life, now all of a sudden they're gone. People that you love die, or they so change by life events, because life is hard, bad things happen, and people we love and care for change. And sometimes it's not for the good, and they are forever changed. It's just not them anymore. And hurts and arguments separate what were once dear friends to us. And here's the insight. The fear of abandonment is one of the greatest causes of hopelessness. There are women living today, and hopelessness is so close to them. Why? Because they have no peace that their husband will stay with them. Men who are fearful their wife will walk out on them. Kids who have no hope, they're in a period of hope because they see their mom and dad as people who would desert them. Older people at that stage in life who all of a sudden, because of the way their kids are living, they have no peace that their kids are going to be there for them in old age. And they're like, I don't know what I'm going to do. But here's the counter to that reality. A husband can walk out, a wife can walk out. The kids may not be there for you in your old age. But there is a God who says, I will never leave you. And God is enough. He is enough. The moment you come to faith in Christ and we commit our lives to Jesus Christ, listen, God walks into your life and he says, I will never walk out. I will never walk out of you. Psalm 32 verse 8, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and I will watch over you. I don't know my future, but God does. I have no control over my future, but God controls what comes to me, and he controls what doesn't come to me. And his promise is, John, in everything, I will guide you, and I will advise you, and I will be with you. And I'll tell you something, that gives me hope. That gives me hope. I am not alone. I am not alone. And that is a comfort for me. So, how do I get hope in this world? Number one, I remember that God always walks with me. But then number two, I rejoice that God always works his plan for me. There are times in my life where I am moving. There are other times that I'm stuck and nothing is happening. And then there are those times where life is declining. But here's what I want you to understand. According to Scripture, God says his plan for me is working. Now listen, in everything. His plan is working. Whether I am moving, stuck, or declining on my end, his plan for me is working in everything for my good. And that means in those times of my life where the only thing I've got is question marks. I don't understand what I'm going through. I don't understand why this is happening. When I have an event that is absolutely senseless, there's no reason this should keep happening. There has no rhyme. It has no reason to it. But when I know that there is a plan, when I know that there is a purpose working in my pain, that gives me hope. Would you agree with that? When I know that something is afoot here, here's the insight. God says he is working in your life even when it makes no sense. Even when it makes no sense, God says, I am working. If a life event is bad, God is still doing something good in my life. I had no idea this was in my journey. Had absolutely no clue that this was going to be part of my journey. But God says, I will take care of you. Let me give you two verses that I think drives this home. And you and I know these verses. I know you know them. But you and I learn them again and again and again through life. We just learn it again. All right? So, you know this, but here it is. Romans 8 and 28. We know that God causes all things to work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And when it says he is working all things to the good to those who love God and are called. And what that means is, when he says and are called, it means that you have embraced the call of God on your life. Now, there may be somebody here this morning, you hadn't done that. You believe that there is a God. But the difference between you going to heaven and you not going to heaven is that you are embracing God's call on you. That you receive that call. And that call is that Jesus Christ died for you on the cross. That you needed that to happen. And that you have said, God, I know Jesus didn't die for the world. Jesus died for me. It's personal. He died for me, and that you embrace that. Now listen, what that means is once you do that, then God is saying he causes all things to work together for your good. Now I'm going to tell you what it does not say. It does not say that when I come to faith in Jesus Christ and I'm following him and I am doing his will, it doesn't say that all things work out for me the way I want them to. Because they don't. I wish it did, but it doesn't. Like it or not, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say that everything in my life is going to have a happy ending. All right? Nope. Doesn't say that. It doesn't say everything is going to work out. It doesn't say every patient in the hospital who is a born-again child of God, every one of them gets well. It doesn't say every marriage ends happily ever after. It doesn't say every business that you start is going to thrive because you're a believer. It doesn't say that every missionary challenge to start a church is going to exceed. It doesn't
mean that every mission endeavor is going to do well. It doesn't mean that every life problem is going to be resolved. That's not what it says. I wish to God it did, but he never said that. What he does say to me is, you can know that I will cause all things to work together for good. And he's not talking about positive thinking. It's not like, you know, I'm just going to be positive. I'm going to name it and claim it. Everything's going to work out good. I'm going to be healed. And people have tried to speak, you know, truth into me. And I realize this, you know, everything can be over with the surgery. All the cancer's gone and that's good. But it may not. It may not. And God doesn't make that promise to me. It's not about positive thinking. Everything's going to be good in my life. Nothing but good's going to come to me. It's not a wish. It's not a desire. It is, I know. What is it I know? Here's the insight. Hope isn't optimism. You just got to be positive, bro. You got to be positive. You don't put a curse on this. See, that's just that optimism stuff. That is not it. We get so off base. Hope isn't optimism. It is not a conviction that everything is going to end well. It may go south. Huh? You see, this is where people walk out of the church. They have a false assumption. If I'm a believer, everything's going to work out well. Where is God? He's where he always is, and he never leaves. He's on the throne, and he's in control. But he said, you live in a broken world, you live in a sin-scarred world, and you have a broken body. And my plan is not for you to live down here indefinitely. I'm making a home for you in the heavens. And that's going to be good. Amen. But not down here. It's not a conviction. Everything's going to end well. Hope is the certainty that a life event makes sense regardless of how it turns out. Doesn't matter how it turns out. It still makes sense. As far as my father is concerned, not every illness is healed, not every challenge is overcome, not every relationship is turned around. But what do we know? I know, number one, that God causes. There is a master designer in this universe. My history is his story. I don't have fate in my life. Fate does not exist. Neither does chance. Neither does luck. I don't have good luck. I don't have bad luck. There's no such thing as luck. There's no such thing as karma. There's no such thing, well, it just happened. I got lucky. I mess up in life, but there is a God who doesn't. Amen. There's a God who doesn't. And my life is not a roll of dice. I have a Father who is watching over me. And then number two, God causes all things to work together for good. All things. Illness, unemployment, divorce, disease, miscarriage, freak accidents, stupid decisions. How many of you made a stupid decision? The line forms behind me. Okay? I'm president of the club. All right? Everything on this planet, everything in my life, because I belong to him and I am in Christ, everything in my life is not good, but everything works according to his plan. What I can control and what I can't control. What I do and what I fail to do. It doesn't say everything is good. Neither does it say, now listen, God causes all things. It doesn't say that. God doesn't cause cancer. And before you throw a rock at me, you listen to me. God doesn't cause cancer. He doesn't cause war. He doesn't cause rape, poverty, or famine. Those are consequences of sin. And they happen without God doing anything. God warned Adam and Eve, on the day you eat of the fruit I've told you not to eat of, you will what? Die. He said, death will enter. And what you know what that means? That means everything on this planet is sick. It is malfunctioning, it is short-circuiting, or it is dying. What? My health, the weather, relationships, achievements, all those are subject to the curse that sin brings. It hurts my life, but God either permits it or restrains it according to His eternal purpose for me and you on this planet. But God, my Father, does not cause evil, wicked, hurtful suffering and pain. That is a result of the fall, and it'll happen whether God does anything or not. That's the world we live in. And here's the truth. God is weaving a tapestry out of the events of my life. I've seen those tapestries before, those pretty things, you know, that are woven with thread and everything. And on one side, it looks really pretty. But if you turn that sucker over, it's the ugliest thing on the backside. Looks like a mess. You think somebody was drunk who did that? That looks crazy. Absolutely crazy. But see, you look on the other side and you're like, man, that's nice. That's really pretty. See, God's above and He's looking down on everything. You and I are looking up. We see the underside. This is, and so what God is saying is, He sees everything from a different perspective. And my Father today knows why everything that has happened in my life has happened. And why He has permitted it or why He has allowed it to happen and He said yes to it. And there's a lot of things in my life I don't understand. But He promises to me that one day I will look at my life and I will see what my Father sees. And I will see how the good and the bad and the ugly and the crazy, the up and the down, has all worked into a tapestry of my life. And I will look more like Jesus than I would have ever looked on my own. My Father's making me look like Jesus. I wouldn't do it the way He does it. But He knows what He's doing. Huh? He does. So here's a caveat, though. God isn't working everything for the good of everyone. It says, those who love God. All things don't work together for the good for everybody. If you shove God away this morning, if you love your sin, if you have no care for the Word of God, you have no desire for the law of repentance to be followed in your life, that you say, God, I am sorry. I'm a sinner. I have done wicked, sinful, ugly things. I am rotten to my core. I am hopelessly broken. That's what the Father's waiting on. Do not trust that you walked an aisle someplace, sometime, somewhere, and you have no recollection whatsoever of what happened. The thing today is, do you see any change in your life? Has there ever been a time in your life where you changed? There's a change. Do you know that you love God and you want to serve Him and do His will? Because that's the only way that everything in your life is going to be working for your good. If you're facing an impossible situation this morning, listen to Jeremiah 29:11. The moment you came to faith in Christ, this started operating in your life. The moment you came to Christ, here's what God said to you. I have good plans for you, not plans to hurt you. I will give you hope, and I will give you a good future. That became God's word to you the moment you came into the kingdom. Did you just hear what I said? Huh? The moment you came into the kingdom, before you came in, God didn't say that to you. The moment you came into the kingdom in Jesus Christ, God said, I have good plans for you. From this day forward, I have plans not to hurt you. From now on, I will give you hope and I will give you a good future. I will work everything together for your good. And maybe you feel what God is permitting or directing in your life is painful and hurting. But God says, I made you for a reason and my plan for you is a good one. I want you to trust me. And I want you to look in your outline. Maybe you feel hopeless where you are in life. God's word, here's God's word to you. Isaiah 46, verse 3 through 5. I put it in there so you could see it. Let's read that together. Would you read it with me? Listen, I have carried you since you were born, and I have taken care of you from your birth. Even when you are old, I will be the same. Even when your hair has turned gray, I will take care of you. I made you and will take care of you. I will carry you and save you. Can you compare me to anyone? No one is equal to me or like me. Listen, if you feel trapped in a lifeless, go-nowhere marriage, you feel trapped in a job career that is like, this is not what you want to do with your life. Maybe you feel trapped with your health. You're hopeless with finances. Maybe you're a single parent unable to change your situation. What do you do? Listen, you give it to Christ. You give it to the Lord Jesus. 1 Peter 1 and 3. In God's great mercy, He has caused us to be born again. Listen, to a living hope because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. 2 weeks ago, we celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the grave. It is a historical reality. The enemies of God would have uncovered the body if it was here, but they haven't and they won't because Jesus is in heaven sitting at the right hand of the Father. But the Lord teaches us in Scripture that what God did to Jesus on Easter morning, He can do to your marriage. God can do that to a lifeless job and a career that you're in. God can do that with your life dream, with your health. And there are two commitments I want to challenge you to make this morning. Let me give them to you. They're in your outline. Number one, that you will embrace the presence of God in your life. He is always with you. You may not feel Him as a child of God. He is there. His name is Jehovah Shammah. I am the God who will always be with you. And this morning, you need to embrace Him and trust Him for what He said. Then number two, that you will receive from God's people. I want to encourage you this morning. There's some of you here that you've been coming, you've been flying under the radar. You've not made this your church home, and you are not in a life group. Let me tell you something. You need other people to support you and come alongside of you. You need to be in a life group. Don't sit out there and spectate, participate. I want you to get in. I mean, do you have relationships here? I want to encourage you. Who do you stand with in this fellowship when they're hurting? Are you here for anybody when they are hurting? I will be there. Is there anybody you would say to them, when you are hurting, I will be here with you. I'll be there for you. Is there anybody like that? Who do you know here like that? You need a family. So that when pain walks in, that they'll come in. When joy walks out, when good times walk out, these people will come into your life. A family who will be there when the crisis comes, and it's going to come. And I want to invite you this morning, I want to invite you to make a decision for Jesus Christ. I want you to bow your heads. Stacy's going to come, and we're going to have a little bit of music here. And I want to invite you, two groups this morning to the altar. Number one, that you would come this morning and you're going to come with a burden, you're going to come with a concern, you're going to come maybe with a grief, you're going to come with a pain, and you're going to come this morning because you, by faith, are going to reach out with hope to this God who is able to give you hope, that there is a God who can change your situation. There is a God who can open up doors that you cannot open with, but He is a God that if nothing changes, He is working, and it is not senseless. Something is afoot in your life. God is working His plan, and this morning you're coming because you're saying, Father, in Jesus' name, I'm going to trust You. I'm going to trust You, and I'm going to rest in You, and I want to invite you to come. And then I want to invite you to come this morning in just a moment. Because you're going to come, and maybe for the first time in your life, you're going to say, Lord Jesus, I am asking You to save me. And in walking this aisle, you're coming to say, Jesus, save me. I know I'm a sinner. I want to go to heaven. I want to have hope in my life. I want to know that you're watching over me, that you will take care of me. I want you helping me make it in this world. I do not want to be alone anymore. I want you to take up my cause in your life. I want to know I can come to you. And that regardless of what happens, whether everything goes south or everything turns absolutely around, you are working everything for my good and for my future. And I'm going to invite you to come. So let's stand together right now, and we're going to pray together when you get down here to the front. I want to invite you, as Stacy leads us this morning, you come and you stand across. And when everybody's come that I feel like wants to, we're going to go to the Lord and pray.